is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Seeing Live Off the Record with Trivago Lang is brought to you by Central Bank, City of Hope, Dunkin' Donuts, New Life, Pindertal, Prince Masters, RF Banking Trust, Raw Star Assurance, Southwest Plaza, and Star General. Insurance made simple.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Trivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call today on the show, the numbers are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316. From the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969, or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. That's BTC Flow Channel 612. All right, so you guys remember I told you we are in the political season. People are going to be very sensitive now, especially people who get paid by either political party to do what they do. To be sure, the PLP pays people to do stuff for it. The government, which is the PLP administration, pays people to do stuff for it, whether it's social media stuff or media stuff, et cetera. People get paid for this. And so they will be, and so do the FNM may have paid persons, whether by a candidate or by the party itself, to do work for it. And so, especially media work, you know. So naturally, these people have their radars up, right, to detect what they might regard as something against their party, against their employer, the people who help them pay their bills. And you can't criticize people for finding ways to make their money, man. I don't care if it's being paid by a political candidate or being paid by a member of parliament or being paid. If you're not doing dishonest work, if you're not doing illegal work and you get paid, hey, carry on smartly. So I told you that in this season you will have that greater sensitivity. Some people who are even not paid about this business too. So they get on the air and they, you know, defend the party, they promote the party. They go in chats, they have these WhatsApp chats, or they have these social Facebook pages or Instagram. They do, and they're either putting out party propaganda or they are defending the party. Some of them go get really down and nasty, and they will start to say malign people or that kind of thing, all in the interest of, one, making the money that they get paid for, or two, supporting the party that they support. That's part and parcel of the fray. That ain't gonna change no time soon. I hardly believe, and you could tell me, I hardly believe that I have criticized the 2025-2026 budget. Criticized it. I don't recall having any extensive negative words about the 2025-2026 budget. I especially don't recall having any extensive negative words about the surplus that has been planned. I never recall saying that the surplus is unrealistic, that the surplus is not going to happen, etc. I thought I recall myself saying, of course the government can plan for a surplus, and that's what its deficits were planned. I thought that's what I said. But I also indicated that the Bahamas government, I didn't say the PLP, FNM, the Bahamas government is not going to have a realistic surplus anytime soon because it has so many outstandings owed to people for any number of reasons. But that doesn't say that the surplus itself that you put on the books, you can't do. I didn't say that. But I expressed a view. Well, lo and behold, some operative decided in a very nasty way to go out there, put in one of his chat groups. Yeah, it's a he. I could call his name, but I ain't calling his name. I don't regard him as very courageous, actually, to be honest with you, because of the nature of this. That I attacked the government's surplus. Attacked it. How do you do that? I jump on the government surplus and attack it. Oh, man. What's to attack? The government presents a budget to Parliament, says it's going to produce a surplus. What is to attack? I was five times in the government, and I put numbers on a sheet that I believe represented what we were going to do, and boom. Some people had their disbelief about the numbers. Is that an attack? No. That's their disbelief about a number. I didn't express any disbelief about the government's revenue numbers, about the government's expenditure numbers, not at all. About the government's planned surplus, not at all. Or did you get upset because I said it was a planned surplus? Did you get upset because I said, well, you know, we've had a balance before. We've had several balances before. Did you get upset or mad with me because of that? I said even, I don't think Sir William Allen ever presented a surplus budget. I said, this is the first time a government has presented a budget. I said that, and I didn't even criticize the government for doing so. But can you be that ignorant not to understand that for your money that you're paid, you would go out there and say nasty, untruthful things? And let me tell you something, bro. I could call your name, just like you called mine in your chat group. Tommy Turnquest used to tell me all the time. He used to say, you know, Shivago, if you can't stand to have something you said to you again, so you said to someone said to you again, if you didn't intend to hear it again like that, or said in a way you didn't say it, he said, don't say it. So sometimes in your thinking and you're safe, and you go and you say things, don't be surprised when people who know you're talking nonsense and lying call you out. Especially when you call me from time to time, commenting on this and commenting on that and so forth and so forth. The people who pay you, they don't know it. Anyways, I think you all have heard me on the show talking about the budget so far. And I'm not here to big up the government. And I'm not here to big up the FNM. And I'm not here to condemn the government or condemn the FNM. That's not my job. I observe, I call, I report upon, I comment upon, I opine upon, I analyze, I share, I teach, I do what I can do. Now, how that falls on you in terms of your own sensitivity, you got to deal with that yourself. I can't do nothing but that. But be sure of this. The next time I hear it, your name will be called on this show, and I will call you out since you're calling my name in public spaces. Be sure of that. A word to the wise is sufficient, brother. Got me? All right. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Boy, you just, with that last statement, you just knock out a part of what I was going to start out with asking you. We can't expect to have, as you always say, intelligent dialogue without the facts and the information, right? So I, the first thing I was going to ask you is, who's the person behind the scenes calling you out in the way that...
Next time. But, because they have some prominency too about some things they do. You know, next time. I only warned them. And I did send them this note privately. I sent them a private note. Next time. They were very nasty.
Okay. Well, let me just add, as someone who I've been a supporter of the PLP my entire life, right? Perhaps perhaps from I was in the womb, based on where I come from, right? Tobago. Mm-hmm. And I'm a very strong supporter of the PLP like my father was, right? Mm-hmm. And I defend the PLP at all costs where there's legitimate reason to do so. And where the reason is not legitimate, I try and soften the blow to the PLP, right? Mm-hmm. But I would not defend wrong. And so I preface that to say, in my exchange, in my dialogue with you, and I believe I've participated on all of the shows since the budget, where you have been discussing the budget, right? I've found that your input and your exchange has been professional. It has been from a matter of expertise, as you are an economist, as you are of the ilk of those persons who plan and execute budgets. I found that your input has been as a result of your own personal experience sitting in the cabinet and also as a minister of state and understanding the ins and outs, the real ins and outs of how the Ministry of Finance operates. And you've given us in the public the benefit of your knowledge, which I thank you for as well myself. Although I too understand accounting, as I served in an accounting firm, a very well-established accounting firm, which gives me a great advantage in even my discussions, right? And I'm a former senior partner, being one of the foremost in accounting in the country, and certainly in the region. I'm Mr. Tony Gomez, Craig Tony Gomez, my former boss. And so, Shivago, I fully appreciate your dialogue. I think it has been very candid, and we are persons. As a matter of fact, you would have prefaced some of your commentary by stating, you know, you can get mad with me all you want. I'm not here to attack the PLP's budget. I'm here to have a frank discussion. And if I see good in the PLP's budget, I'm going to highlight. And you did highlight the good that you saw in the budget. And you spoke to those who you know would call on you privately and say to you, why are you bigging up the PLP's budget? And so how do you go from that to saying that you attacked the PLP's budget? I don't know. I don't know, Shivago, but I don't support that belief at all, because I didn't find that. I found that you were strong in your position because you are an economist, and that's what you're supposed to do. And myself, when I present my point of view, is I'm also strong in my position because I understand accounting, right? And sometimes I even challenge you in your positions. But nonetheless, I show respect and due respect to your positions and your seniority, right, as is expected, although I add my own flavor and I add my own portion to the discussions. And right. I believe that that's the way it's supposed to be in a democracy where you're not controlled by any one individual. You know, I wouldn't want to be in that kind of a country. Pardon me?
But you know what is curious is the I get calls from the government to say, listen, can we have someone appear on the show to talk about this, to talk about that?
Right.
All the time. Well, and so why would they do that if they thought that I was one, either just campaigning for one other side, or two, right, not doing anything fairly?
You know something? You just reminded me of something with something you said, and it's not even the main point you're making, which I agree with. The government would not send someone except that person is of equal expertise and can go back and forward with you. They would not send someone with you who is not of equal expertise to engage in a discussion where you are an actual expert and can put them to bed. If you are someone who pushed back negatively and aggressively negatively against the government, that would make absolutely no common sense. But you know, Shabag, you said something, and you say it from time to time, and I want to highlight it as an ending of my contribution here. On this point, you always say to people who accuse you of attacking the government. If this is what you all think me, Shabago, Sean, like, attacking the government looks like, then you start laughing. And I laughed because I know using your
expertise. I only ask you. 2 hours a day, 5 days a week. 2 hours a day, 5 days a week. And I am so focused on, that I take a whole day on Friday to play music.
But not only that, Shabago, using someone like yourself, expertise as an economist, as someone who served as a minister of state and finance, as someone who knows how the bodies are buried, where the bodies are normally buried, where to look, where not to look, etc. You could be far more effective if you choose to go that route.
But you choose not to go that route.
You choose not to go that route. And I'm not one of those who believes in any way, shape, or form that you use the authority that you hold, the experience and knowledge that you hold, the expertise that you possess, and the captive audience that you hold 2 hours a day, 5 days a week to plunder the PLP or to beg up the Afghan. That doesn't happen. Thank you for the opportunity.
Don't forget, I think you'll recall, they said the same thing about me and Minnis, right? And I said, well, you really think that this is the best I could do if that's all I wanted to do? Seriously?
As a matter of fact, even as an FNM, I recall you having a discussion with former senator and former chairman of the FNM, one of the bright minds in our country, certainly, and certainly a respected name in the field of accountancy in our country, Darren Cash. I remember you all having a frank discussion on previous FNM administration's manifestos and how deep you go into details and how you take the time to present a comprehensive position so that people can understand exactly what you're saying, using that as a comparison to the then-minister administration, which was a far cry from what the FNM normally presents in its manifestos. And so, Shabago, I don't buy it. I see past the smoke and mirrors, and no disrespect to whoever it is behind the scenes that would have made that comment, right? But I simply don't support it. Thank you for the opportunity, Shabago. Continue to go to work.
I appreciate you calling. I only could tell you next time, if the next time they do it, I'll let you know now. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. When we come back, we're going to look into the budget with some more details. We're going to look at the revenue numbers and see the big movements in revenue numbers, and then we're going to look at the expenditure numbers. I'll tell you where the big movements in terms of increases or decreases are among ministries and departments. So we'll take a look at that. There's some interesting questions to ask when looking at it that way. So we'll be back after this break. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host.
Are you looking to save for a big purchase or occasion? Do you want your money to start making? Well, let me introduce myself. My name is Bond, the Bahamas Government Savings Bond. I am guaranteed to earn interest on your money with terms ranging from 1 to 6 years. Government savings bonds are available to all Bahamians, and for as little as $100, you can start to save for your future. The Bahamas Government Saving Bond, a safe investment guaranteed. Check out the Central Bank of the Bahamas website for details.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America is now City of Hope, creating one of the leading cancer care and research networks from coast to coast, providing more of what you need. More locations means more care closer to home. More specialists means more expertise. More research means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatment options. And more options means more hope. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
Winning on the court, just like investing, is about consistency and having the right partner. With RF's Advantage Plus brokerage account, you get exclusive access to high return securities, some yielding up to 7%, plus expert investment guidance. No need to chase every opportunity. We deliver priority trading, exclusive investments, and focus on what matters most. Sign up for an RF Advantage Plus brokerage account today at rfgroup.com. RF Bank and Trust. Money at Work.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We're so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, please feel free to do so on 323-6232 or 325-4316. From the Family Islands, 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Mr. Ling, how are you doing, sir?
Hey, right here, man. What's up?
Mr. Ling, let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. I don't know. All are supposed to be big, grown man, right? Why is the Guardian sentencing certain people? I mean, it's amazing to see, not you, but tell you these talk shows, right? As long as you don't call your talk show cursing the body or maligning the body, why certain people, viewers, who support the PLPs, can't get it? Answer that, please.
Oh, well, first of all, I don't know that to be happening. Because of the reason you say so, dude. You ask me a question. Would you let me answer it?
Yeah, but let me talk now.
What I do know is that if a caller is offensive, repeatedly doing things that might put the show, the radio station at risk, then they might decide that you can't come on. But other than that,
no, Mr. Lang, no. Let me tell you something. But I have a problem with you about it, Mr. Lang. First of all. I see when the FNM lost in 2000, when the FNM went, it's not lost in 2017, and you was a senator, and you quit, right?
Yes, 6 months in.
Yeah, so
First of all, Dave, let me tell you something, right? Unless you know a man's story, you should ask. So let me explain to you. When I was asked, let me explain to you something. When I was asked to be a senator, I did not want to do it. Hubert Alexander Ingram, with whom I served, asked me, said, Shivago, you know, for a period of time, we will need someone who can defend our legacy in office. And you are the best person to do that. And so I think you should take the appointment for a time for that reason. And I did it for the time, and then I left.
All right, Mr. Lang, last thing, right? Now, I don't know if you said it, word. The Northern Service said that you said, certain portion of the pastor's speech was untrue. So that's up for
certain portion. Certain portions of what? So hold on. Certain portions of what?
Let's be careful, Mr. Lang. The Northern Service came on the air and said, Shivago Lang said, certain portion of Philip Brave David's speech, budget speech, was untrue.
Well, first of all, if they said that, why are you blaming me? Secondly, Dave, listen, you cannot come on my show and bully me. You have to let me defend what you are telling me I said. If you didn't hear it out of my mouth, why are you wanting to blame me for what others say? I called the news people up the other day myself and told them, I said, you know what bothers me about y'all? It seems to me like y'all are trying to editorialize the people who you all are interviewing. Like, you have a story, and then you want to make a story out of what they say. But so you can't blame me for what they say. You have to listen to what I say. First of all, there was incorrect things in speech. Incorrect. And I did that on the show and called it out. I never said it was untrue. Or there are things which the government said, I said, no, but that's not the whole story, though. But I do that on the show, bro. Defend your government, man. Defend your party. You have every right to do that. You could call the show and do that. But you are not going to be permitted to come on this show and say things that are untrue or try to make me the subject of your nonsense. That's not going to happen on Z Live. You could do that on WhatsApp, on Who Up, and that up, but you ain't going to do it on Z Live. All right, now let's get to the budget, please. All right, let's get to the budget. I have no time for that kind of nonsense. This text says this is exactly why this guy is censored. He is rude and disrespectful and posts all manner of ridiculous things about all of us. He calls and curses on air too. There you go. There you go. Okay? And this is from the management. Okay? If you do nonsense and stupidness calling these shows, that's what's going to happen. And you do it. You and others who decide, we don't like Dwight, we don't like Zhivago, we don't like Howard, we don't like this nonsense. I don't think that's the most effective way to help your party. If we are wrong, you can present us with the facts. Think about it, right? Some of you guys are so missing in your own power that you just cannot be effective. You just cannot. Your government is in power, bro. Your government, the prime minister of the Bahamas is a PLP. All of the ministers are PLP. So you have all the access to information you could have. You all need to learn from Antoine. Antoine goes and calls up who he needs to call up and say, listen, X and Y is being said. What are the facts? And he will come and give you what they tell him. He doesn't come on the show trying to make it about the person. That's a small mind that does that. And I don't mind telling you, you are a small mind when it is about the person as opposed to the argument. You see me go on air talking about Prime Minister in negative ways, talking about his ministers in negative ways other than talking about the policies. When I have spoken about the Prime Minister personally, I've commended him. And I'm putting you guys on warning now. I am not going to tolerate that going into this election. Don't call the show to make the subject the personalities on these shows. Either you come with intelligent thoughts about the issue or keep your backside off the show and go in those social media circles where you could go and tout any nonsense you want to tout. It makes no sense. Waste. This text says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. That Dave caller what score he is trying to settle. If he doesn't want to hear Guardian Radio, why tune in? There are other stations on the dial, or turn off the radio. I agree with you 100%. I wouldn't listen. I don't listen to Fox News. I ain't gonna lie to you. I tried. I don't do it. Go ahead, callers. We're listening to you.
Yes, sir. Good day, Mr. Lang.
Hey, how are you, man?
Almost as good as sure. The only thing. I'm not as hot as you are under the collar at this moment, but...
All right, I can tell you all no lie, man. I'm a passionate fella, but certain things, I'm not going to pretend otherwise. I ain't going to lie to you.
You know what, Mr. Lang, I'm listening to the record for, but you know I've never seen you in person, but seeing you on television and stuff like that, one, and you know, it speaks to the theory that you never judge a book by cover. I would never, or one would never, perceive you to be someone who can get so fiery up and stand up to whatever you believe you need to stand up to.
That's only because you don't know me well.
Yeah. But what I called for, Mr. Lang, I called Howard's show earlier, and I said something similar to him, but I want to put more for you. Mr. Lang, I just want to say this to you. I've been like, I'm a person, I'm slow to speak. I'm no household name person in the eyes of the public, but to myself, I am important, very important. But I'm going to say this to you. I've been like having this to say to you for a little while, and it's still here, so time for me to say this to you. The chair that you sit in, Mr. Lang, is a very influential chair, and it has more influence than when you were a minister. And when you're in the game, you cannot see the game like persons who's watching the game. And I'm watching the game. And
that's
I'm
true,
saying
for sure.
to myself, like, not saying that you don't speak the truth because you do, but I'm calling on you to even be more forceful and work hard in the truth, Mr. Lang, because you may not know it, but you have some influence out here. Everybody listens to you and what you say. People put a lot of credit to it, Mr. Lang. Mr. Lang, Mr. Lang, you're in a position to make a difference in this Bahamas. That's how I'm saying
appreciate-
you are in a difference. To make a difference in this Bahamas, Mr. Lang.
I appreciate that very much, and I believe I agree with you, and I accept it, and I thank you for it. I agree with you 100%. That's why I take it so seriously. Spend the time to prepare, but I appreciate it.
Right,
appreciate it very much. Thank you much. We have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hi, Lang.
Hey, what's up?
I got to call back, sir, because the reason why is because I participated in that very conversation with you, where you made the recognition of the omission of some words that should have been in PM's statement. And it was never said at any time by yourself, certainly not by myself or anyone else, that PM was lying or that you attacked the PM statement. I was a part of that conversation. You were reading what the PM said. And you were applying economics rules to the conversation. And you were saying, yes, I understand what the PM said. However, this part is missing out of what the PM intended to say. That's it.
Actually, what it was, Antoine, was that the PM said that he said that the bill in November 2024. It came into effect January 2024. That's impossible.
Right. Right.
And that's
and
what
you,
I pointed out. So that was incorrect.
You said it should be 25, correct?
It should be 2025, exactly. I said it was just an error.
Right. And so, Shivago, you know what? Oh, boy. I hope that the Northern Service issues an apology for the mis and information that was provided to the public regarding what you stated. And
it wouldn't be Antoine, it wouldn't be only them. I did an interview recently too with Our News.
Uh-huh.
And Our News interviewed me as the executive director of the Government and Public Policy Institute.
Right.
And Our News quoted me commending the government for things that were in the budget in terms of revenue measures. And
right.
Then it went on to say, but not everybody agree. Some FNM say, and then it went on to quote me.
Okay.
And I told them, I said, if that was not corrected, it out. And then I said, I would not do an interview with them again.
Right.
Because I am not representing the FNM.
Right.
I tell FNMs that. I can't do it.
Right, right.
Okay, so I don't want people to misunderstand the strong defense of the professional posture I take in our
right.
society.
Right, right.
There are things I could say when I observe it about the PM's work, about Michael
right.
Pintard's work, et cetera, any other minister
right.
or politician. And I
right.
don't say it because I am seeking to be professional in my posture.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, Shivago, to go even deeper, I've heard you with my own two ears when you interviewed current national chairman of the FNM, former cabinet minister, Dr. Sands. I've heard you correcting him when he used finance terms and he didn't quite understand the fullness of what he was saying. I heard you correct him. And then I heard you advise for him to stay away from using those kinds of terms and just speak more in general terms because in your capacity, just sit down and allow him to use those terms
incorrectly. You're going to have to correct him, and you didn't want to come across as attacking him. And you take the same position when you are analyzing anything to do with the government, and you always pay courtesy and respect to the prime minister, right down to your guest, Cabinet Minister Alfred Sayers. I heard you say to him in the interview, now, Minister Sayers, you know, using my expertise, I could push back on a lot of what you were saying, but you are my guest, and so I choose not to. Anyway,
but
Shabari, continue
to go Anton, the reality is, I'm going to say this only because I just want people to understand what it is I'm seeking to do. On both sides of the political divide, when I observe things, I send notes.
Right.
Okay? Or I make calls. And I would say to them, I said, listen, you can't say that.
Right.
Let me explain why. Et cetera, right. Bam, 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 bam. I said, that's not a good position to take because this is the case.
Yes.
Right? Why do I do that? It doesn't have I have no interest in drawing on a salary from the government of the Bahamas now or into the future. No interest.
Right, right.
I do it because this is our country, brother.
Yes.
And if they are better guided, we are all better off.
Yes, absolutely. And on this last note, I smiled when I heard you reference that yesterday that, you know, certain people, they are forced to act in a certain position due to economics or due to their economic position or due to how they are treated between one government or the next, and others just act in accordance with what is standard and what is lawful law, something of the sort. I smile. You were so 1,000% correct. Continue the good work, Brother Shivago.
Thank you, man.
I hope the Northern Service offers an apology for the missing information.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Listen, nobody need apologize. Nobody need do nothing. I know how to be guided in the future, period. That's all. I ain't looking for no press. I ain't looking for no interview. I ain't looking for no... I get sought out for these things. I don't mind. I don't mind helping. I don't mind sharing, etc. But I know how to be guided in the future. That's all. All right. Producer, you want to take this break now? It should be a short break. What do you want to do? Or you want us to just go on and then go into early break? Let me know what you think is best. All right. But we're going to look at the revenue movements, what the government proposes in terms of big revenue movements and then expenditure. The government has in the budget that range from increases as low as a couple dollars to as high as $130 million. So in other words, $141 million. So in other words, there are decreases or increases could be as low as a couple dollars. There are increases that are as much as $141 million. So I'll tell you where those revenue increases are. On the expenditure side, the government has increases, the maximum increase proposed in the new budget. The total increase is $177 million on the recurrent side, right? $177 million on the recurrent side. That's a total net increase the government proposes on the recurrent side. And on that, the highest single increase is $50 million. That's what's nice. So we'll explore what that is. We'll explore what that is. And so stay tuned after the break, we'll explore those things. This text says, thank you, Mr. Lang, for wanting to help building a country, our Bahamas. We need more persons like yourself for guidance. Appreciate it. Text says, good afternoon, Minister. As a supporter of the PLP, Dave was wrong and misguided in many ways. Please continue to be fair and balanced with your informative approach. Wallace, thank you for that. We're going to run through. We're not going to go through all of the heads, but what I've done is to look at the major movements between the heads. And those, what I mean by that is from the current budget, what was budgeted in the current budget, we don't know what the actual spendings are because, or the actual revenues are, because that's what's been presented is only for 9 months to date. Well, we'll look at what was budgeted and then what is planned to be budgeted in the next budget. That's the July 1, 2025 to June 30, 2026. And then we'll let you know what's happening there. Okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let me read this first. It says, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save everybody. Jesus is our Lord and Savior. Jesus' name is not in the Bible. Jesus' name is. Okay. All right. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Chicago Line, your host. We're going to take an early break. And then when we come back, we will look at some details in the budget. We'll be back after this break. Through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Living paycheck to paycheck. At Fidelity, we can help you take control of your money, build a financial future you're proud of, and we'll do it free of charge. Transform your financial future with our coaching sessions today. Make that move. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Ready to talk to someone about your health and receive the personal attention you deserve? Imagine having clear thinking and energy every day. Welcome to New Life, a health store featuring electric cell foods to cleanse and replenish the body, plus an alkaline deli and on-site consultations. New Life, your alternative to disease, located in the Independence Drive Business Park on East Street South. Visit newlifebahamas.com or call 323-6080 or 1.
Give away a cruise. Guardian Media Group and Going Places Travel wants to take you on a 7-day cruise for four to Panama, Colombia, Curacao, and Aruba on Royal Caribbean Serenade off the seas. And here's the best part. No visa required. That's right. No visa required. You have four ways to enter, four ways to win. Number one, fill out the form in the Nassau Guardian. Number two, listen to Star 106.5 and Guardian Radio 96.9. Number three, follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Number four, or make a purchase at end. Deadline is June 27th, 2025. Drawing will be taking place on July 4th, 2025. So you know what that means? Pack your bags and get ready to soak up the sun and feel the ocean breeze. You and three loved ones sailing the high seas on a vacation cruise of a lifetime. Brought to you by the Guardian Media Group and Going Places Travel. Certain conditions apply. Airfare, taxes, and gratuities not included.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather.
We'll be right back.
Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday, rainy in Freeport, Tuesday afternoon. We're looking at the budget today. If you want to give us a call, please feel free to call us on 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Okay. So let's look at our revenue movements. I told you. So when you're analyzing a budget, it is useful as a start of that analysis to look for what we call movements. Movements means changes up or down, increases or decreases in certain line items. Because on the revenue side, the major movements or increases or decreases tell you something about what the government sees either as opportunities or as challenges in its revenue generating proposition. In this 2025-2026 budget, the government sees itself as possibly increasing revenue by about about $244 million or thereabouts is what I think I calculated, right? Which is a fairly handsome, healthy proposed increase in revenue, right? The government expects to take in about $3.9 billion in revenue and at budgeted a revenue intake of about $3.5 billion last time, and believes it's going to hit that target. So it's around about $300+ million in increases it's proposing. So where does the government see the increases, the major increases coming from? The largest increase the government expects to have is on taxes on international trade, all right? Taxes on international trade, and those would be your custom duties and the like. And why is that useful to know? Because generally speaking, if you have taxes on international trade going up, that means the government expects more import activities to be taking place, right? It expects more import activities to be taking place. The government, in this instance, expects that general import duties is going to go up about $10 million. Interestingly enough, the government sees excise duties, this is where you all them car imports and them go in, I think, expects that to decrease significantly by about $20-something million, right? And so it expects, now I have to find out what this is, because listen to this, folks. So, okay. I need to help you here. So what I'm doing is I have the government's budget estimates of revenue and expenditure. And it's quite a detailed document that outlines line item by line item. So you could see the line item under certain heads for revenue. So what I'm doing is reading those heads. So like I said before, the government expects an increase in taxes on international trade of about $141 million. So what I do is I go to, and that's on taxes on international trade. So I go to the part of the budget estimates that has taxes on international trade and transactions, that heading. And then I look under the line items on under that heading. And so you'll see under that heading, Customs Department and Department. And then under Customs Department, it has each area of collection category that Customs is responsible for, whether that's general import duties, custom bonding tax, excise duty, stamp tax exports, stamp duty exports, etc. They have all of those there. Now, what I'm saying to you is the government has a category where they expect, so this might be a switch, okay? So the government expects, this is what they have, sea departure tax to increase from, to decrease. Listen to me carefully, guys. I'm reading the line. To decrease from $177 million to just about $7 million. That's about a $170 million decrease. So is somebody reading the budget and seeing that, go, oh, what, how is that $170 million decrease and you expect to be able to increase the revenue overall? Well, that's what we would call an incomplete analysis of the budget. Because if you see a major movement, a major change like that, a major decrease like that, you could almost be guaranteed that that's going to get made up somewhere else. And so, knowing the budget as I know it, what do? I go and look somewhere else. Well, here you go. So the government then has, under passengers leaving from Freeport or Nassau, they have an increase of $168 million. Remember, that decrease was $170 million, and that decrease is $170 million. Now they have here this new item. It's a new item because it was zeroed in the previous budget. And it's now $168,602. You saw decreased under sea departure tax. Now, if I'm somebody querying the government, I just ask them why the change? Because that's not new revenue. It's not decrease. It is not increase. It's a change. It's a switch. That's what I would immediately go to. And so I would ask the government, why are you doing it? Then the government has passengers leaving from any port other than Freeport or Nassau without visiting any other port in the Bahamas. So it's all the family island ports. And it has an increase of $76 million. Again, I would ask, what does that mean? Then, listen to me, guys. The government has two new categories that was zeroed in the 24-25 budget that are now substantially populated in the upcoming budget. They have a tourism enhancement levy. Remember, the government talked about that, of $20 million they expect to get revenue from. And then they have a tourism sustainability levy, which they expect to get $60 million from. Okay, now, presumably, and I think I'm right on this, the government is taxing tourists for these two levies. That's almost $80 million in levies to tourists. And then you add to that the $76 million, and you add to that the passengers leaving Freeport and Nassau. All told, these levies from tourism, and there's air tourism, in terms of approximately about $320+ million. Okay? Not all of that is an increase. Some of it is about $80 million plus represents an increase to these folks. Now, I would be asking the government, is this new? And does the government anticipate this? Does any challenge to increasing, providing these levies? Is it going to be a disincentive to tourism in any way? You'd want to know, right? On the cruise visitor side, I don't see that that's going to be an issue, because you know what happens with these cruise visitors, right? Cruises get booked well in advance. So if the government taxing you, it's hardly likely the cruise ships are going to go back to their passengers and say, we don't want you to come because. So, but those are some of the increases on the international trade side of things. The government obviously sees opportunities on that side. The government also has a dollar increase on taxes on income. Now, that's the, remember, that's the what we call it, corporate tax. That's the one that international global tax that is being levied on these companies that are making $170+ million booking through the Bahamas and so forth. And so the government believes that it will receive about $130 million. So that's new money. That's new money for itself in this upcoming budget. The government sees an increase of $63 billion in administrative fees. Administrative fees. That's interesting. What are administrative fees? Right? That's the stuff you and I pay for any number of things like road traffic and them, I believe. So the government sees $63 million there. Is that? And so if I saw that and I were querying the budget, I would ask the government, does this represent an increase in the fee rate, or does this represent an anticipation that more such persons will be paying those fees? That's what I would ask, because there is a difference. So what are administrative fees? Fees from transcripts of court proceeds, judicial fees and service charges, transcript of court proceeds, you have registration, deeds of documents, trademark, and marriages, corporate administrative registry services, all these kinds of things, courier service from fees, deed poll fees, apostille fees, there's sales of visas, fees from passports. All of these are the kinds of administrative fees that the government now believes it'll collect $63 million more for. Customs processing fees will go up, the government believes, by about almost $9 million. And so all of those are stuff which, and then there's this new category of things that are zeroed out in the previous budget, meaning these are all new. Now, whether they represent shifts to some new labeling, I don't know, but I suspect that might be. There's lightering and bunkering LNG fees, and bunkering sulfur diesel fees, there's cruising permit fees, there's anchorage fees of $2.8 million, there's frequent visitors cards. The government expects to collect $9 million from frequent visitors cards for private vessels, frequent visitors card for private aircrafts, spirits and bear stamp fees, cruising permit fees not exceeding 34 feet length, $4.4 million, cruising permit fees exceeding 34 feet, $1.5 million, and the like. If I'm querying the government, I want to know, are these increases in fees to these entities, and does this, do you anticipate this impacting us in any significant way? And the immigration, again, we are looking at the administrative fees still now, the $63 million increase. On the immigration side, maybe you'll be happy about this. The government sees itself collecting about $6 million more in immigration fees, about $21 million more fees. Are they rate increases or you expect more people to be paying these fees is what I would ask, right? But those are some of the major movements in fees, administrative fees, as the government has it, okay? So we have taxes on international trade, taxes on corporate income, taxes on administrative fees, for the most part, representing immigration fees and so. Then listen, there's a category here you might be interested to know. The government has a revenue item called reimbursements. And under reimbursements, the government has populated it with $75 million. $75 million. Guess what for? Anybody want to guess what the $75 million is for? I think you'll find it very interesting. Government is expecting to collect $75 million. Anybody want to guess what it's for? See, this is how you look at the budget. This is how you get the details. Some people say, oh, they don't tell us. They don't know. They tell us stuff. You just don't take the time to read through the details. Well, the government has, it was zero in the current dollars in the next budget, this budget which has been laid, and they expect to get the $75 million the year after, and $75 million the year after. Guess what that is? That, for reimbursement, Grand Bahama Port Authority. The government has proposed it will collect $75 million under the Hawksbill Creek Agreement from the Grand Bahama Port Authority between July 1 of this year and June 30th of next year, $75 million. Same thing for the following fiscal year, same thing for the next fiscal year, same thing for the next fiscal year. So all told, the government expects to collect $300 million from the Grand Bahama Port Authority over the next 4 years. Now, what is interesting about this is, think about this for a minute. The government said that the Grand Bahama Port Authority owes it $300 million. And it says that's what's due. Remember now, this is money the government says is due. It's invoicing the Grand Bahama Port Authority for monies due over a previous 4 or 5 years. And it now budgets for the collection of that $300 million or collection of $300 million over the next 4 years. So I'm asking this question. Is this the government collecting the $300 million that's due? And if this is the $300 million that's due, why is it not collecting more? Because wouldn't more money come due since you are now billing the Port Authority for monies it will go forward? So it should be $75 million over the next 4 years for the first $300 million. And then it should be an additional $75 million or so, if your estimate is correct, for the following 4 years. Doesn't that sound reasonable that it would be the case? But that's not what is in here. In here, $75 million. What does that represent? What does that represent? Does that represent the $300 million the government says you already owe me? And if you were going to collect that money at all, wouldn't it show up somewhere, or you expect them to pay it in this fiscal year? Well, if they haven't paid it yet, they only have about 27 days to pay it. And so I don't think that's going to happen. So is it that you expect them to pay the $300 million? And if you expect them to pay the $300 million, why are they not being billed for a future $300 million? Or is there that in here somewhere? I haven't seen it. Is that the Port Authority? I did a search for Grand Bahama Port Authority in the budget, and I only see this one area. I think. So let me, okay. I only see it in that area, so I don't see anything else. So it seems like something might be a little off there, right? And then you have the government expects a $14 million increase in taxes on property, on property taxes, a $9 million increase in VAT. Remember, the total VAT revenue would be about $1.5 billion, but they expect a $9 million increase, not a whole lot. Excise tax increase, $7 million. They expect taxes on specific services to go down $5 million, taxes on use and permissions to go down $5 million, and then they expect an increase of $4 million in dividends. I have to check, see where they're collecting that dividends from. And then there's a decrease in tax on current transfers, NEC premium fees, which I have not been able to get a proper explanation as to what that is yet. I am not sure. All right. This text says, I calculated $257 million. I may be off. Calculated it for what, though? I mean, you can't just tell me you calculated for what? This text says, Mr. Lang, hope all is well. Oh, sorry. This is different. So they expected to receive $75 million in 2024-2025 from the GPPA, and now they expect this in the following year. So the amount the GPPA owes should have moved from $357 million in 2024 to $427 million ending June. And yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the way it should play itself out. If you are invoicing for outstandings and then calculating future receivables, that's what should happen. All right. Could they lie? It's so sad when someone don't understand they are waste, which is a terrible thing of mine too. Okay. Good afternoon. I like how you start your show, Paid Operative. I listen to your show daily. I see the difference in the way the FNM Paid Operative is treated versus the PLP Paid Operatives. Perfect example, C. Allen could call and say whatever garbage he wants. No challenge from you. Popper could call and say whatever he wants to say about being a PLP, but quite obvious he wants them to lose it. Okay with you until someone does the same thing claiming to be FNM. Believe what you want to believe, bro. Believe what you know. I'm convinced, Dave, like man, because why do you crying for Philip? Good afternoon, I'm good day, small mind, speak of people, medium mind, speak of events, large mind, speak of ideas. That's that text up. This text is, I'm just a nobody. Okay, I mean, this text is, Mr. Lang, they said no new tax, but they know adding cost to other services is a tax. Well, I think the idea would be to find out what the increases represent. You can have an increase because you expect to get more from people you're already taxing, or you can get more because you are increasing the rate, or you could do a combination of both. And if I were querying the government, then I would ask about those things. Now, remember, you don't vote on the revenue side of the budget. So the parliament isn't going to say, okay, let's go to a line item this for tax revenue and see how the vote takes place. That does not happen. You only vote on the expenditure side of the budget. And so you don't, but you can query it. Why? Because obviously how you spend depends on what revenues you take in. So you can't ignore the revenue side of it, because if the government's revenue falls short of estimate, then its spending could be impacted. I have to say that so far, the government has been fairly good on revenue estimation. It has either achieved forecasts or it has exceeded. We have a caller. We got 1 minute before the break. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, Lang.
Hey.
Yeah, I just wanted to add in two things. One being a constructive criticism, and then one being information.
Okay.
You know, this is a part of what Bo spoke about. Gowan spoke about on the morning of the budget that I explained to you. when I was listening to his show. And it comes through so glaringly now that you're going through this exercise and you don't have the knowledge because the information isn't available for you to access, and only those who produce the report has that knowledge. And this is why it's so critical. And I would encourage Minister of Economic Halkidis, the brain power for the PLP, as well as the Financial Secretary, Mr. Simon Wilson, to please get back to the quarterly communication for the budget so that these kinds of discussions could be more fulsome when further experts in society takes to the public airwaves to edify us. It wouldn't leave the government looking like it's lacking when it's presenting a positive momentum budget moving towards a balanced budget and a surplus by the end of the 26th fiscal period. And then my information. Now, listening to the budget, listening to the communication, from PM on that morning, I noted that he did explain either himself or it was Minister Spears who explained that the government will be collecting additional taxes from the crew's staff as they disembark the boat to be in Nassau while they are ported here. And so I'm thinking that could account for some of the revenue. That's $60 million in revenue increase that the government is expecting. And then perhaps where the GBPA is concerned, the government could have also negotiated, or the GBPA could have also negotiated down that figure, acknowledging what they owe, but came to an agreement with the government to pay half of that, which would cover them for that period that you're reading, which would carry them forward for each year.
Well, I know Antoine, they negotiated it down. I know that for a fact.
You know
I know that.
Why do you feel that, Tobago? Why do you feel they didn't negotiate it down?
This isn't even a feeling. This isn't even a feeling. I can say no more.
Okay. You're speaking for a position of divinity. No problem.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Tobago. God bless.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Ladies and gentlemen, listening to Z Live, I'm Tobago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Everybody, come take my hand.
We'll walk this road together through the cold, the warm.
Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Winning on the court, just like investing, is about consistency and having the right partner. With RF's Advantage Plus brokerage account, you get exclusive access to high return securities, some yielding up to 7%, plus expert investment guidance. No need to chase every opportunity. We deliver priority trading, exclusive investments, and the lowest commissions, so you can focus on what matters most. Sign up for an RF Advantage Plus brokerage account today at rfgroup.com. RF Bank and Trust. Money at work.
Southwest Plaza has so many stores, I've been trying to find a sensible way to list them all. There's CBS Bahamas, the Asheye Institute, BENC Snack World, Bamboo Shack Bahamas, Air, the Athlete's Foot, and BTC Games and More, John Bullfine Threads, Alive Bahari, Dairy Queen, 700 Wines and Spirits, Sandy's Clarkson Island Luck, Starbucks and Lowe's Pharmacy, plus Marco's Pizza and Lorraine. Southwest Plaza, what a wide array of stores. Southwest Plaza, stop by today and explore.
Ready to talk to someone about your health and receive the personal attention you deserve? Imagine having clear thinking and energy every day. Welcome to New Life Foods to cleanse and replenish the body, plus an alkaline deli and on-site consultations. New Life, your alternative to disease, located in the Independence Drive Business Park on East Street South. Visit newlifebahamas.com or call 323-6080 or 1.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316. Or you can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. All right, so turning to expenditure, the government is increasing spending in the new budget above the current one by my estimation, by about $177 million. So I think that represents, let me see here. That might represent as a percentage. I know it's less than 5% of expenditure increase, so it might be around 2%. I don't know. Anyways, but it is increasing by $177 million, so that represents some new spending it proposes in the overall $3.9 billion in expenditure the government expects to do in the upcoming budget. Yeah, that's under 5% it expects to do. There are the major increases. The Ministry of Disaster Management has a $50 million increase. Now, I do not believe that to be any new money. I believe that's a transfer to the Ministry of Disaster Management, but I'll get the details of that for you. That ministry goes from $10.5 million in the 2024-2025 to $60 million in the new budget. And I don't believe that represents, that'd be remarkable. I don't believe that represents a new degree of spending. I believe that's a transfer. And it's conceivable that it's a transfer out of the ministry or out of Ministry of Finance too. But I don't quote me on that. I don't know. But that's a remarkable movement, which I do not believe represents any substantial new monies. In fact, I know it's not. What the explanation is would be something I would query if I were, and only for information, because I don't think there's anything spurious or curious there outside of what the particular change is that would warrant that kind of movement, right? But that's the biggest movement. That's the biggest change in the government's new proposed budget. That's the biggest one. It's the Ministry of Disaster Management. Okay. I was trying to see if I could find it real quickly. These things take some time sometimes, but I can't. You can't write at the moment. Anyway, we'll see. All right, yeah. So let me see if I could, I have it. I see if I could spot it for you. Yeah. So yes, that represents the movement. As I said to you, that's the Water and Sewage Corporation is now under the Ministry of National Disaster Management. And so they have $48 million allocation, which was probably in public works, has now been moved to that ministry, okay? And so that's what that change is. So that this is how you analyze the budget. And when you know the budget, like you see major changes like that, you know something in the way of movements has happened, just as I suspected. All right. The next biggest change is increase is to health and wellness. Health and wellness gets a $22 million increase in the upcoming budget. The public services gets a $19 million increase. So you'd want to find out why that is. OPM gets a $25 million decrease. So you'd want to find out why that decrease. The Treasury gets a $16 million increase. You want to know why that increase. You have Works gets $12 million increase. Ministry of Ed gets a $14 million increase. Department of Education gets a $9 million increase. The Office of the Judiciary, the Royal Bank, the Royal Bahamas Defense Police Force gets $8 million. The Royal Bahamas dollars. This is on the recurrent side, by the way, which is interesting because on the recurrent side, the Royal Bahamas, the police force gets $8 million. It's a much larger force than the Royal Bahamas Defense Force, and it gets $6 million. So I'd ask why, what constitutes that. The prison gets $5 million increase. The Office of Judiciary gets $5 million increase. The Registrar General's Department gets $3.5 million increase. The Parliamentary Registration Department, remember where they have some folks doing some work, they get a $2.5 million increase. I'd be curious to know what that is. Foreign Affairs gets a $4 million increase. Immigration and NIB gets a $3 million increase. Department of Social Services gets a $4 million increase. And then some of the others get like $1 or $2 million increase. Okay. The government proposes in the new budget to spend $370 million on the capital side of things. $370 million, $76 million. Of that $376 million, the government expects the Ministry of Finance to control the spending of 34.7% of that money, or $130 million. Now, I would query this, right, as to why the Ministry of Finance is controlling so many of the capital expenditure. And if you look at some of the categories of capital expenditure the ministry is controlling, it really does represent, no, we're not going to let ministries control this. We're going to control this, right? And the question is why? Ultimately, who can spend it if the Ministry of Finance don't release it? No how. But as to why the Ministry of Finance is itself controlling full one-third, more than one-third of the capital budget is an interesting proposition to me. Interesting to me to see. That's new, actually. That's not typical, right? But I've seen and noticed over the years more and more the Prime Minister and Minister of Finance has seen it fit to control more and more of the government's capital expenditure. And that's a kind of centralized financial power scenario to me. And it was a prime minister who wants to be directly involved with and the Ministry of Finance with that expenditure. And so therefore says, you want to do this, you come to me, or I'll tell you when you could go ahead and do this. Or it doesn't feel comfortable to be with ministries executing that amount on their own. And so it goes in that direction. but it's something I would query. The next largest distributor. Allocated to it $40.2 million, and then the Ministry of Health and Wellness $38.5 million in the bar. So all told, that those four ministries account for 78% of the budget. Four ministries. Ministry of Finance, Ministry of Works and Family Island Affairs, Ministry of Education, Ministry of Health, 70-something percent. Outside of the Ministry of Finance, that isn't unusual, but I would bet that this concentration of capital expenditure within those four ministries might be new in terms of that level of concentration. All right, so that's expenditure and that's the big movements. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shavar Golang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Looking for insurance that fits your lifestyle and your budget? At Star General Insurance, we've got you covered. Whether it's motor insurance with flexible options for third-party liability and comprehensive coverage, or commercial insurance products that protect your business, we have choices you can afford. Own a home, or insurance products have just what you need. And for the adventurers out there, we offer marine insurance too. Visit our website or social media pages for contact information and quotes. Star General, insurance made simple.
Living paycheck to paycheck, at Fidelity, we can help you take control of your money, build savings, and create a financial future you're proud of. And we'll do it free of charge. Transform your financial future with our coaching sessions today. Make that move. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Beulah gal, can you believe this? We are now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge. So we need to check out what's going on in everybody's yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything? Guns, where they hiding the drugs, who shoot who, or who disturbing the peace with the loud music and the motorcycles.
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas. And everybody gonna want to come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what are we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands. Or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shavar Golang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. So glad that you could join us. If you want in these last moments to call us, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316, or you can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. So there you have it. If you have any questions or comments, you could let me know. I'm happy to try to answer any questions you have. I hope that quick review was helpful. If I were in Parliament, and I were going through this budget, every single line item I would go through, looking at the changes and looking for explanations up or down, increase or decrease for the changes, because that's part of the job, is trying to understand what the government proposes. So I would look and I would conclude that the government's priorities are Ministry of Finance, Ministry of Works, Ministry of Education, and Ministry of Wellness. That's because they are the ones garnering the bulk of the government's budget, capital budget increases, and also the government's recurrent increases. That's what I would gather, because health and wellness gets the largest share on the recurrent side, not the capital side, but on the recurrent side. OPM, 25 new million dollars. I'd query what that's about from Office of the Prime Minister. Ordinarily, the Office of the Prime Minister doesn't get a large share of the budget, because what you expect from the Office of the Prime Minister is more a coordinative function and role in the government. The Prime Minister is the chairman of the cabinet, the coordinator of the political directorates, the one responsible for trying to ensure that there is coordination and collaboration among his ministers. And so he doesn't typically, get caught up in the spending side of things. He's more interested in the executing side of things, watching as his ministers do what they do. But, since Sir William Allen, you realize that the prime ministers have not appointed any minister of finance, saving and except themselves, since Ingram did so in 2000, and in 1997, did not do so. In 2002, when Christie won, he became the Minister of Finance, and Kiedis was the Minister of, James Smith was the Minister of State for Finance. Ingram won in 2007, he retained the Minister of Finances, Bingham, and I became his Minister of State for Finance. No, Dr. Minnis appointed a Minister of Finance in Peter Turnquist. That's Dr. Minnis did it. So outside of Dr. Minnis, there has not been any prime minister willing to relinquish the post of Minister of Finance. And I think that does lead them sometimes to concentrate fiscal power in themselves. sometimes they do it because they think times are critical and they'd rather have a close handle on the thing. It's their choice. It's their choice to do so, right? So I don't know if you have any questions or comments, found it helpful or useful, you let me know. I'm happy to answer whatever questions you have. So What we are going to do as we go forward, obviously, is listen to the debate, see what observations are made in the debate, and then we can go from there. Now, let me finish up with this one note. This, by the way, we have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hi, Mr. Lang. How are you?
Hey, okay, man. How are you?
All right. I had to call at that point that you just made about the prime minister's keeping hold of the Ministry of Finance. That has always been a concern of mine over the years, because in my opinion, if I would have thought that I would have ascended to the role of that position, to me, the number one priority of any prime minister government is always national security. I would have found the right person that I think would have been the best person for that job as the Minister of Finance. And as a prime minister, I would take on the role of national security, because I think national security of this country is the most important thing in above everything else. Okay. And I just thought I would.
I think a good argument could be made for that.
Yes, I guess, you know, that is something that I've believed in a long time, because I always ask the question, why do they go for Ministry of Finance when the most important thing is national security in this country?
Well, be honest with you. What can national security do effectively without that curse being adequately addressed to it?
Say that again, please. I didn't hear you.
I said, what can national security do if the purse, the financial purse, doesn't appropriately support it?
Well, I mean, well, of course, they have its advantages and disadvantages, boundaries. But I think, I mean, from my perspective, I just think that...
I understand what you're saying, but I was just giving you a counterpoint so you know why prime ministers see the Ministry of Finance as critical. And I can tell you, you ask the people in national security, they'll tell you what we could do if the people don't give us the resources.
Yeah, but I can
of course,
understand that.
Of course, national security could turn around and say, yeah, what resources would you allow?
I mean, like you say, the collaboration, they will have their argument, you know, but that has always been my thing. And another thing that was always concerned in mind too, regards to the passport. You know, I always ask the question, why doesn't the passport office fall under the Ministry of National Security? Because of the importance of such a document, you know, that's of power and importance and national security of this country.
You can make that argument too. That's one of the reasons why, you know, they have in times past, they have appointed police officers, senior police officers, to be chief passport officer.
Well, that's true, but the thing about it is, if you could appoint anybody from anywhere, but if you don't change the policies or the process of how things are done, then that ain't make no difference.
That's why you put police officers in there, because you said put it in national security, where a senior police officer tends to know security risk and leakages and would try to beef that up and get the policies put in place to do that. So that's one of the thinkings.
It will definitely have an advantage, but again, I still think that with that experience of police or senior police officers, it should have come with that notion of wanting to put the emphasis on that in terms of that level of security because of the importance of it.
I understand exactly what you're saying. I appreciate that. All right. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, because we got 1 minute. So I saw that the OPM has indicated, well, the PLP has indicated that they did not issue a flyer that features Belinda Wilson's photo, which Belinda Wilson took exception to. Yet, the flyer has the PLP symbol. It is an invite from the Prime Minister. And the statement that does not denounce the use of the PM's name, the PLP's symbol, etc. And so how does one not conclude that this is a product of the PLP? Maybe the prime minister or their leadership didn't directly do it, but it is a product of the PLP, and it was not denounced as not using the symbols and them. Oh, listen, man, you all have a great evening. God bless. You've been listening to C Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Be well.